May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is the last Sunday in Advent, and we are left with little time to practice our spiritual disciplines before we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ the first time. Thankfully, spiritual disciplines are good for any season of the church year. So as we consider our lesson from the letter to the Hebrews right here on the day before Christmas Eve, we're left with one final spiritual discipline: obedience. Now, Hebrews is steeped in sacrificial language, so it behooves us to have some working background in sacrifice to better understand where the writer is coming from. Before Jesus came to offer himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin, the Jewish people relied on sacrifices to make up for the just demands of a holy God. Like us, they failed miserably at keeping God's commands. As a result, they depended on the temple sacrificial system to atone for their many misdeeds. But this was hardly ideal. The endless slaughter of innocent animals is not what our Heavenly Father's what he had in mind for humanity. In fact, this realization wasn't exactly new to the Jewish people. Thus, we see the writer of the Hebrews having Christ quote from Psalm 40, saying this: "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Jesus' offering of himself upon the cross replaces the never-ending cycle of animal sacrifices to address our moral failings. Christ became the unrepeatable sacrifice that makes it possible for us unholy sinners to draw near to a holy God. Now, I don't want to get into the details of how Jesus' death makes our atonement possible. That's beyond the scope of this sermon. But if you are interested in doing a deep dive into this topic, I commend to you the Reverend Fleming Rutledge's book, The Crucifixion. She delves into the logic of the cross and how Jesus' offering of himself bridges the gap between our sin and our God. But I do want to address the fact that Christ's sacrifice frees us to carry out the spiritual discipline of obedience, of learning and following our loving Lord's commands. In the letter to the Hebrews, the author reminds us that Jesus came to abolish the first, that is, constant sacrifices, in order to establish the second, genuine obedience. The Son of God would rather have genuine, heartfelt obedience than rituals that never get to the root of the problem that drives us to perform such sacrifices anyway. The problem of sin. In our Hebrews passage, Christ, again quoting from Psalm 40, says, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God." So Jesus comes to carry out the obedience that every single one of us has failed to do. In our Lord's case, that obedience was two-pronged: to abolish the sacrificial system and to carry out God's commands in both their intent and in their letter. Our Savior's arrival removed the need for more sacrifices, plus he lived out the obedience that none of us could do on our own. Again, time constraints limit digging deeper into exactly how Jesus' sacrifice makes future sacrifices both superfluous and ineffective. But his obedience, his willingness to do the will of his Father, makes obedience a reality within our grasp. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the writer to the Hebrews confirms that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. To sanctify is to make holy, sacred, pure. In fact, sanctification is one of those aspects of salvation that drives home the reality of our already not yet existence between Christ's first and second comings. We are already counted sanctified because of Jesus' own holiness and purity, even though that we're not fully holy and pure and of ourselves. But since we are not yet actually holy, we're also in the process of being sanctified as we grow in grace and holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Justification, by contrast, wipes the slate clean for us in heaven. Justification is our fresh start, if you will. In a real sense, justification is the beginning of sanctification, but it isn't the same as sanctification. Sanctification is progressive, growing more and more into the spiritual purity of Christ himself that he has. That's not an instant experienced reality, even though it's credited to us as such. Both justification and sanctification are possible because we've received the down payment on our eternal holiness through the gift of the indwelling Spirit. So Christ's obedience is counted as our own, as well as literally being made our own in our daily walk with him. This is what sanctification is meant to achieve, to bring us deeper into the realized experience of Jesus' own obedient holiness. We are meant to become more loving in our intentions, actions, feelings, and interactions. Christ wants our speech, our deeds, our ruminations, our daydreams to reflect both his loving heart for others as well as his rejection of the sinful customs and desires of this fallen humanity of which we are a part. The old and sometimes abused adage to hate the sin but love the sinner, well, that's the goal that we strive for as we learn real obedience to God from our hearts. That's why the spiritual discipline of obedience is essential. During the time before salvation, when we have yet to develop a heart of love for God and others, obedience teaches us what kinds of actions and attitudes that such a change of heart can produce. Then, once we come to own our faith proactively, hopefully in a mature way, we begin to see the fruit of obedience blossom naturally as the love that motivated Christ's obedience becomes our own. Obedience thus serves as a spiritual teacher before conversion, before justification, and then becomes evidence of the Spirit's work within us afterwards. What obedience doesn't do, however, is earn us brownie points with God. We can no more earn our salvation than a virgin young woman bear a child without either losing her virginity or God divinely intervening. But just like that babe in the manger under Mary's contemplative and loving gaze, our growth in wholehearted obedience serves as the ultimate sign that God has done something within us. But now it can be seen in the outside world. So our fledgling attempts to obey God before we take hold of faith, or rather before faith takes hold of us, well, they're not useless. They reveal what God wants to do in us, however impossible it is to do on our own. Our fouled up attempts to obey can even give us a taste to stir up a desire for holiness to become a real part of our lives. On the other side of the justifying transformation that begins the process of sanctification, well, obedience becomes proof positive that the Spirit is at work in our hearts. And the more we become like Christ, since we're already counted holy by faith, the easier that obedience becomes to us. Attempts to obey God even stir up a longing to become more holy, in a similar way that they can stir up a longing to start being holy before we first actively began following Christ. As we rapidly approach Christmas, I hope you take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you to obey Him, not as some way to extort eternal life from Him, like He's some mere heavenly Santa Claus, and certainly not in barter for some earthly blessing. Lord, if you only heal my mom, I'll obey you. Or, God, I was a good boy all this year. How come this situation didn't go my way? No. Our obedience needs to come from a heart filled with love for God and for others. And that love is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Love that we see in Christ's sacrificial offering of Himself upon the cross. Love that compelled our Father in heaven to save us instead of condemn us, no matter how egregiously we flaunt His just and holy commands. As Advent rolls into Christmas, I implore you to practice obedience so you might realize what holiness is all about, so you might come to long for holiness, and ultimately, so you might exhibit that Christ is indeed making you holy, as we see it in that daily fruit of growing obedience. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that He may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.